Your speaker in this lesson is Garland Robinson.
Can a child of God fall away and be lost? If there's any subject taught any more clearly than this subject, I'm not aware of it. Because the Bible speaks of it so much, just let your Bible fall open, and more than likely on one of those two facing pages there, there'll be some kind of suggestion or point made about the danger of falling away or some who did fall away. The little word if. I've heard all of my life that the word if is the biggest word in the English language. Only two letters, IF. But yet the meaning of it is tremendous. Very, very big word because it presents a condition. It is in regards to a stated fact that if, for example, if it rains, then we know that our crops will be watered. The fields, the county, where we live. But what if it doesn't rain? Then the area, the county, certainly will not be watered. So we're stating a condition here. And the Bible states a condition like that as well. And it does in respect to this particular subject. And so tonight I want to look at a number of passages that have the word if in there. And then we can certainly recognize and understand the obvious implication of what is drawn from God, not us, but from what God reveals to us in His Word. So the first passage we'll look at is 1 John chapter 2 and 24. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. You may want to mark that or circle it in some way because it's a passage that has to deal with this subject. Here we find, "Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning." If, there's the word we're looking at, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now notice the word if. He says, if that which shall remain in you. And the idea is the Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God. If, as Christians, we allow the Word of God to infiltrate our lives, and if we continue in the teaching of the Word of God, then He says, we shall continue to remain in the Father and in the Son. Well, to remain in the Father and in the Son means that we do so with His approval. There is no one that resides with deity or with the Father or with the Sons that He does not approve of. So it means that we are in fellowship with Him, that He enjoys our company and holds us dear unto Him. And He says that's if we continue in the Word. So now the opposite of that certainly needs to be asked. Well, what if we don't continue in the Word? What if we do not continue to love the Word of God and learn the Word of God and live the Word of God? Then the obvious implication is that He will not continue to remain in the Father and in the Son. For it's only contingent upon the fact that we remain in Him, or we love His Word. And if we do that, then God will keep His promise. We know from a study of the Bible that God has done His part. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has given His only begotten Son to come into the world and live among men and die for our sins and was raised the third day for our justification. God has laid out the plan of salvation. He has done all that can be done, short of forcing people to accept His Word. That He has not done. At least He's not done it to this point. And the Bible says He will not do so until Judgment Day. At Judgment Day, then He will take all that have ever lived and separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And the goats, or the lost, those who did not choose to obey Him, then He will force His will upon them and say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." He will at that time force His will upon us, but not now. As long as men draw breath in this world, God says, "I will not interfere. I'm not going to force my will upon you. And He desires that we accept that, that we accept the will of God, we do what's right based upon our freedom to choose. And if we so choose to follow Him, then He says, we shall remain in the Father and in the Son. But if we don't choose that, then obviously we will not be in the Father and in the Son. While you're here in 1 John, look back at chapter 1. In chapter 1, 1 John, look at verse 7. 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. Here it's stated again a condition. If we walk in the light. Well, what does it mean to walk in the light? It means to live according to the truth. Jesus said, and speaks about the fact of His truth is light, and that the light of God's truth shines upon our path and directs us in the way that is approved of God. So if we live in the light of His Word, then He says, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross cleanses us from our sins. And the point is that it continually cleans. It constantly is washing, wiping away our sins. But when and how, upon what condition is that done? It is if we walk in the light, if we live according to the truth. So the question is, what if we don't live according to the truth? What if an individual decides, I don't want to do the Lord's will anymore. I'm through with that. I'm not going to obey His commands. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, again, the obvious point is that we will not enjoy fellowship one with another. And we will not enjoy fellowship with God. And if we don't have fellowship with God, then He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So here this passage says, if we do His will, that is, walking in His light, living according to His Word, then we'll receive forgiveness. But if we don't, then obviously we will not. A third passage is back in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Here we find where Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 32 of John 8. But again, notice the condition. If ye abide in My Word, if ye continue, then I'll forgive you. That's the point. So again, the question is, what if we don't continue in His Word? What if we decide, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to live that way. Then obviously He says, that's all right. I'll just give you salvation anyway. Why in the world would the Lord say, if you continue in My Word, then I'll forgive you, but if you don't continue in My Word, I'll forgive you anyway? Well, what incentive then would anyone have to continue in His Word? So again, the condition is stated in that fact that if we do His will, He'll save us. And if we do not, then certainly He will not. Then look in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, we find a similar thing mentioned as well. Here we read, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Then the condition is stated, if we faint not. You know, we're all faced with troubles and anxieties. We all have circumstances, situations confronting us. We have burdens, things that weigh heavy upon our mind and our family. And He says, what do we do when those times like that come along? He says, well, we don't give up. We don't throw up our hands and quit. We keep on keeping on. Keep on doing the Lord's will. And that's the expression here, that we must not grow weary in well doing, for in due season, that means in good time, in God's own time frame, we will reap. We will receive a reward because we've done what God expects us or asks of us to do. And then the condition. If we don't give up. If we don't throw in the towel. If we don't stop and quit. But the question is, what if we do quit? What if we do give up? Then the obvious implication is God will not allow us to reap the great reward. So salvation is conditional. Now, how in the world then could a Calvinist in this one of the five cardinal doctrines of Calvinism, which says the perseverance of the saints, that is, that once saved, always saved, that's how we would word it. They think of it as a perseverance of the saints, that is, the saint of God will persevere. They'll continue. They'll hang on. And that they must. And there's no way they cannot hang on. But yet, all these passages fly right in the face of that doctrine and say, no, that's not the will of God. God allows men and women to serve Him of their own free will. Not because He's made them do so or forced them to do so, but of their own free will. And if we don't, then He's not going to force us to do that. And certainly He will not bless us when we refuse to do what His Word states. Then look, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Really, there's several verses here in our Sunday morning class. As of late, we've been discussing things out of this chapter, what we term the Christian graces. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Here we read, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, notice, for if these things be in you, then ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, here's a passage that actually tells us the obvious, the conclusion. If we continue to add these Christian graces and grow and develop in the Lord's will, then we'll be blessed. But, he says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And then we find the word if again. For if these things be in you and abound, ye shall never fall. Now, that's only if we add these Christian graces. Then he says, we'll never fall. Now, there's the assurance. God does not leave it open to our option to think, now, if I obey Him, and if I serve Him, if I love Him, if I do His will, I still don't know. And we're just kind of like we're wringing our hands. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if what He's really promised is true. I'll just have to hope that there's a heaven. I don't really know, but I'll just trust that there is. Well, that's not the way the Bible reads. Here He tells us that if we do these things, we shall never fall. We cannot fail in God's sight. It's no possibility that we will come to the end of life's way and we'll stand before Him in judgment, and God will say, now I know that you did all these things I've asked you to do, but I'm still not going to save you. There's no possibility of that. He gives us a guarantee, but that guarantee is conditioned upon the fact that we do His will. If these things be in you and abound, we will be blessed as God's people. But if we lack these things or we do not do these things, then we're going to be lost. He's not going to reward us with bliss and happiness and eternal reward in heaven. And he says that's just the way it is. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But that is only if we add these Christian graces to our life. And if we don't, then we will not be granted entrance into that heavenly kingdom. Otherwise, this passage doesn't mean anything. Otherwise, we could say, well, I know that's what it says, but we can't trust it. That's really not what it means. And all of these passages can be exactly understood the same way. We need to take them at face value and understand them exactly as they're written. And he says that salvation then is conditioned upon our response. We have to respond to God by doing His will, by believing in His Word. Look at another passage here in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. Hebrews 3 and verse 14 we find the word. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We are made partakers of Christ, which is in essence saying that we will receive the reward of Christ. The very end for which He sought to accomplish by coming into this world and dying, our forgiveness of sins to make it possible that we can go to heaven someday. When we are a partaker with Christ or of Christ, we will receive the great reward. He said that's the point. But he says if we hold fast His Word. Basically, that's what he's saying. If we hold fast our profession of faith all throughout life till we have no more strength in our bodies or mind to do so, and we lay ourselves down in death, he says, then we'll receive the great reward. But it's only if we're faithful all the days of our life. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we find that great passage that we refer to often. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Faithful unto death. That means literally even in the face of death. Even if it costs us our death in the process. And that certainly involves simply to be faithful until a ripe old age and we die of natural causes. It includes that, means that. But it includes and means more than that. Even in the face of persecution. Even if we have to forfeit our life in order to be faithful to the Lord, he says, if we do that, then he will give us a crown of life that fadeth not away. But that's conditioned upon the fact that we do his will. While you're there in Hebrews, look in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. The just means the righteous. Those right with God are just with God. We're going to do what the Bible tells us to do. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So if we live by faith, we live by the Word of God. And all that we do in life, we do because we have confidence in God, we rely upon His Word, and we know that we will receive the reward if we keep on being faithful. And that's the point. But he says, if anyone, any man, draw back, that is, if we pull back from doing His will, pull back from learning His Word and following that Word, then God says, I'll have no pleasure in you. Do we understand then if God has no pleasure in us, well, He's going to save us anyway? Then this word, these verses here, don't mean anything whatsoever. But yet He's giving us conditions stated upon the fact that when we love Him and do His will, He'll reward us. In Romans chapter 8, only have two more of these. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Here the Bible says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live after or through the Spirit, ye do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. Now here it gives us no way to guess or to think, well, I might see that a different way. He states the word condition on both sides of the coin, we would say. If we live to the devil, we're going to be lost. And if we live to God, we're going to be saved. That's a way of paraphrasing it. Now, here's the question. He says, if we live according to the things of the flesh, if we live according to our own whims, our own likes, our own desires, he said, we're going to be lost. Here's the question. Well, what if we don't live? What if we don't live to the deeds of the flesh, to the whims and our own desires? Well, that means we're going to be saved. And so the opposite of that is simply stated that if we live according to God's will, then we'll be saved. But what if we don't? He gives us the answer. He said, if you either live for the Lord or you live for the devil. And if you live for yourself, that is living for the devil. But instead, if we live for the Lord, then we're living unto Him and we'll be saved. And so He gives us both sides there. If we live for the Lord, we'll be saved. If we live for the devil, we'll be lost. But we have the choice to make that our own. The last one we'll mention is Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Romans 11, verse 22. Here we read, "Behold the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness." Then he says, "If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." If we live in God's goodness, then he tells us what will happen if we don't. What's going to happen if we don't live in God's goodness? He said, we'll be cut off. Be cut off. So you mean that a Christian can stop living in God's goodness? That is simply means, again, according to His Word, we just stop being faithful? What's going to happen? And He tells us. He doesn't say, well, that's all right, you're going to be saved anyway. He says, you're going to be cut off. Cut off. When we're cut off from God, then we're going to be lost. God's not going to claim us as His own. So here's all these passages that plainly, clearly, that even a child can understand them, that see that a person can obey the gospel and then turn from that and forfeit their salvation so that they would be lost. Well, then let's look in the next 5 minutes about some examples of people that actually did that. Some examples. In Acts, the first chapter, you remember we read about one of the 12 apostles whose name was Judas. And the Bible tells us in Acts 1 that Judas fell because of transgression. Now, is Judas going to be saved? Do we expect when we see the Lord in the by and by that Judas, the betrayer of our Lord, is he going to be there? We don't expect to see Judas there because the Bible says he won't be there. He is lost. Why? But yet he was an apostle. He was one that was handpicked by our Lord and lived according to Him and with Him for about 3 or more years. But yet he failed. He failed by transgression, and we must not have any part with him. There's an example of one who failed. In Acts the 5th chapter, we read about the first 12 verses of Ananias and Sapphira. Here was a Christian couple that got caught up in the fervor of the moment, and they conspired together to lie about their giving. And when Ananias lied, the Bible says that he was struck dead immediately. There was nothing said about a conversation with him and some kind of reply that he made, simply that he lied and he fell down. And just a short while, his wife came in, and she likewise lied about their giving, and she died. Do we expect to see them in heaven? They were Christians. They were faithful for a while, but in this deed, they sinned. Well, we know they are not going to be in heaven. And then in Acts chapter 8, we read about a man whose name was Simon. Simon at one time made his living through sorcery and bewitching and tricking people. And he heard the truth and obeyed the gospel. And yet he went back, for a moment at least, to his old way of life and desired to buy the gift or the power to lay on of hands. And Peter, then apostle, tells him that thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, that he has sinned in this matter. And he was told to repent and pray. And fortunately, in that context, he did. What if Simon had not repented and had not prayed? What if Simon said, well, I just forget about you, don't worry about it, I'm going to go back, I'm just going to stay where I came from? He would not have been saved, because that's the whole point of the story. And yet, in this occasion, it turned out good that he did repent. You remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, we find about a man whose name was Demas. The Bible, Paul here writes about him, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, was Demas lost or saved when he had forsaken the Lord? When he had gone back from traveling with Paul? Bible says he went back into the world, and we don't read any more about him. But yet, here's an example of someone who strayed away and was lost. In 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20, we read about Hymenaeus and Alexander. Here the Bible says that they had been delivered unto Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. Why? Because they had made shipwreck of the faith. They were Christians, they were children of God, but they run aground. They run and wreck their Christian ship. And now, do we expect them to go on and be saved anyway? The Bible says that they would not. They had been delivered unto Satan. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When someone loves money and power and those kind of things, they stray away from God. And what happens as a result? They pierce themselves through. They have strayed or erred from the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, or verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred. So again, how many passages must we look at to help people understand that a child of God can fall away? As we mentioned this morning in 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 20 and 22, he talks about those who obey the gospel and then turn from it and go back into the world, how they're worse off now than had they never obeyed the gospel to begin with. So if we cannot fall away and be lost, why would we pray to the Lord God to lead us not into temptation, such as He told us to do in Matthew chapter 6? If we can't fall away and be lost, why would we watch and pray not to enter into temptation? Why would we desire to put on the whole armor of God and having done all to stand? Why would we so work so as Satan would not be allowed to take advantage of us if we can't be lost anyway? Why would we be concerned and worried about those things? We don't have to worry about Satan transforming himself into an angel of light if we can't be lost once that we're saved. We wouldn't have to worry about giving place to the devil or being tempted of the devil and our labor being in vain if we can't fall away from God and be lost. We wouldn't have to worry about the snare of the devil and being taken captive by him at his will, or that old serpent, the devil. None of those things would be true if we can't fall away and be lost. So the Bible so clearly, so plainly points out that we can be lost. And we don't want to be lost. Why not take the opportunity to step out in faith, repenting of sins, confessing faith in Christ, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins? Or if you've strayed away and now you find yourself outside of the fold of safety, you've wandered far away from God, then why not come home? In repentance and prayer, be like Simon in Acts chapter 8, that you might repent and pray that you might be forgiven.
Your speaker for this lesson has been Garland Robinson.